Last Wednesday, we started the year 2003. The new year is 5 days old today, 360 days left to go. And there's always certain things that you associate with New Year's. When Jim and Janine came in and Jeanette was standing there, we were talking, and I said, well, did you guys have black eyed peas? Because if you come from the South, you know that if you have black-eyed peas, and some people add collard greens to it, if you have black-eyed peas and collard greens on New Year's Day, that means you're going to be blessed and prosperous the rest of the year. And of course, they did have their black-eyed peas, and I missed mine this year. Usually when Debbie's grandmother was alive, we were not there on New Year's Day, and we'd always have black-eyed peas and collard greens. But you associate that with New Year's. You associate all the college football games, bowl games, and some of you that have males that like to watch the football games, and you don't, you have been putting up with them. It used to be all on one day. Now they spread them out so you can have them the whole week. And even on Friday night, they were playing a college football game. You get new calendars put up on your wall and your desk and start to date. Some of you have written bad checks already. Not bad because they're going to bounce, but bad because you put 2002 on them instead of 2003, and you might have had to tear some checks up. And then some of you have also probably made some resolutions, New Year's resolutions, things that you want to accomplish in the year 2003. I was reading in USA Today this week on Friday that, let's see what it said, 68% of the resolutions that people make for New Year's are broken by January the 15th. And so we make resolutions and they last for about 15 days for 68% of us, or 68% of them, and they don't last very long. And so I think many of us have gotten to the point where we say, well, I don't keep them anyway, why should I make them? Why should I make New Year's resolutions? And this morning, that's the subject of my message, New Year's resolutions. I think everybody ought to make some New Year's resolutions. I think everybody ought to have some goals that they want to accomplish in this year. They ought to have some objectives. They ought to have some things in their lives that they want to change, they want to improve, they want to get better. And I would point out to you that having goals is a biblical concept. You go through and you start in the book of Genesis and you read through the Bible and you'll find the stories of people over and over again in the pages of the Bible that had goals. Noah had a goal. Wasn't a New Year's resolution, but he had an objective. His goal was to get the ark built. Now, we know it took him over 100 years, but and tonight I'm going to speak on the subject how to keep your New Year's resolutions. But he had a goal. That goal was to get the boat done before the waters came, before the floods came, to get the ark completed. Moses had a goal. His goal was to get God's people into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. David had a goal. He wanted to build a house for God. He says, why should I live in a house that's pretty and God live in a tent? I want to build him a house. Now, we know that God didn't let him do that, but he said, your son, Solomon, I'm going to let him build it. And so David changed his goal and said, okay, I'm going to prepare for it. I'm going to gather everything that Solomon needs to build that house. Nehemiah had a goal to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he went back and accomplished that. Jesus had a goal. He said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. That's my goal. I want to please Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. And He says that goal, or that will, is to come and seek and save that which was lost. And and the Bible says that He set His face like a flint toward Jerusalem, toward the cross, and His whole life was pointed toward that goal to go and die in our place on Calvary. And then, of course, Paul had a goal. We've gone many times to Philippians chapter 3, and we've read these verses. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think in these verses, and I preached from these verses not too long ago, but I think in these verses that Paul wrote talking about his goals, he gives us three steps for how we can set our New Year's resolutions. And you say, well, New Year's is over. It's not too late to set goals. January the 5th, January the 6th, sometime this week, sometime this month. It's not too late to set goals for things that you want to accomplish in 2003. And I think in these two verses, we can see three things that will help us set our New Year's resolutions, our goals, our objectives, for things that we want to be different, for things that we want to change in 2003. First of all, these verses tell us if we're going to set a goal, we have to realize that we haven't arrived yet. Paul says that I haven't apprehended. I haven't got to where I want to be. I haven't attained, he said in verse 12. He says, I'm not perfect. Said another way, we need to realize that we are not perfect yet, that we're not where we want to be. And to set a goal, you've got to realize that. Well, let me illustrate. Hey, Dave, would you go over there and stand by that wall? And Daniel, you come over here and stand. Just stand at maybe right here, and that way I won't have to walk so far. And you go over here and stand. Okay. Now, we're going to let, and this is not typecasting, but we're going to let David represent where we start, either in our Christian lives, so this would be the time we got saved, in our family lives, so maybe this is the time you got married, in our church life, you know. And so he's going to represent the starting point, and Daniel's going to represent perfection. I know this is not, don't shake your head, yes. But he's going to represent perfection, okay? Now, if I'm going to set a goal, I'm not going to have very many good goals if I think I'm right here. If I think I've arrived, if I think I'm perfect, if I think there's nothing in my life that I need to change, this is what this represents. Say in my family life, as I think about myself as a husband, this is where I am when I started. Actually, I was probably back here when I started, but are you guys awake this morning? This is where I started. Now, if I think after, how long will I be married this year? 73, 30 years. If I think after 30 years that I'm right here, that I'm the perfect husband, then I'm not going to have any goals for being a better husband in 2003. Now, I know I'm not a perfect husband. If I have any doubts, all I got to do is ask Debbie and she'll help me. But I know I'm not a perfect husband. So I'm somewhere along this road. And if I'm going to set a goal, and if you're going to set a goal for 2003, you've got to realize that you're not over here. Because if you think you're here, then you won't have any goals. But if you say, well, I was thinking last night, I said, I'm going to set up this scale, and I'm going to have all the men come up and stand where they think they are. And then I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But just picture in your mind, if this is where you were when you started and this is the perfect husband, you say, well, what's the perfect husband? I don't know. It's an elusive goal. but this is a better husband, then picture where you are on this scale. Okay? Same thing in your Christian life. This is where you were when you first got saved. This is Jesus. That's the objective of our Christian life, to be more like Him. And if we think, well, I'm just like Jesus now, then we won't have much of a goal, much of an improvement if we think we're already there. So the first step to setting a goal is to realize that you're not perfect. That you haven't arrived, as Paul said. You haven't apprehended. There's still some progress that you need to make. Okay? And so, measure yourself in the different areas of life. In your Christian life. In your family life. Ladies, you do the same thing. If this is where you started as a wife, and this was a perfect wife, and I can probably define a perfect wife more fully for you than I can a perfect husband, but just teasing. You figure out where you are on that scale and come to the realization, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect. And then second, get a picture of where you want to be. Get that Paul talked about it as a mark. The prize of the high calling of God. He says, I'm not there yet, but I have a picture in my mind of where I want to get. I have that prize that I'm striving for, that I'm pressing for. And we need to get in our mind, second step, of where we want to go. What? If we're going to make a change, we've got to know where we are, and then we've got to know where we want to go. In our Christian life, if this is when we got saved, and we say, well, I'm about here right now, my prize is to be like Jesus. I mean, that's my mark. I think that's the prize that Paul was talking about. I want to be more like Jesus. And we were talking about in Sunday school how that God brings things into our life and tests us so that he can mold us to make us more like Christ. And so we need to have in our mind what we want to be. Now, God doesn't dump the whole, when we're talking about our Christian life, he doesn't dump the whole load on us all at once. I mean, we don't get saved, and God says, well, my expectation is you be just like him tomorrow. You be just like Jesus tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. Our Christian life is a series of steps where we grow, and we become more like him, and become more like him, and become more like him. But he's our picture. He's the one that we need to keep in mind. He's the one we're striving to be like. It's the same way in our family life. Let's say that I'm a newly married person, and maybe as a husband, I'm right here. I need to look out, and I need, Brother Dwayne, you come up and help me for a second. I need to find some men that have been a husband for a long time. 57 years. I would expect Brother Dwayne to be a lot better husband than I am. I mean, he's been at it for 57 years. He's had twice as long to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes as I have in 30 years. And so he's more along this line. So maybe I can't define what the perfect husband is, but I can see somebody like Brother Dwayne, whose marriage has lasted 57 years, happy. I mean, this is the guy that still buys his wife flowers every week. Right?
Right.
Every week. And so, if I can't define what the perfect husband is, what I need to do is find somebody better than I am and say, hey, that's who I want to be like. And keep moving in that direction. Okay, thank you. You can go sit down. You two guys stay there just for a second. So, I need to realize I haven't arrived. I need to get a picture of where I want to go. The Bible says, where there is no vision, Brother Chuck read it a moment ago, where there is no vision, the people perish. I mean, if I'm right here, and I have no vision, I have no place that I want to get to, what's going to happen? I'm going to get stagnant, and I'm going to die. What? Let me just ask you, think about this. What keeps old people young? Grandkids, yeah. Well, that's one thing, grandkids, yeah. You know, you got to keep up with them. But I would submit to you, what keeps old people young is they still have something they want to do. They still have an objective. They still have a goal. There's still places that they want to go and things that they want to do. I mean, if an old person gets to the point where, hey, I've done everything that I want to do, I've gone everywhere I want to go. I mean, why do you think Earl and Millie, and you know, I used to worry about calling people old, but now I is one, and so I don't worry about it anymore. But why do you think Earl and Millie still in the summer get in a van and drive 2,000 miles across the country? Because, you know, they're going to see their family. They still have things that they want to do. Why is Helen talking about going down to Florida and spending in a month where it's warm? And because she still has things that she wants to do. She still has some goals, some things, that some places she wants to go, some people that she wants to see. And that's what I'm saying. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where if you don't have a goal, you're going to die. I'm going to die anyway. Yeah, but you're going to have a lousy life until you die if you have no goals. And so every single one of us, New Year's is a good time to do it, every single one of us ought to realize, hey, I haven't arrived yet, and I've got something pictured in my mind that I want to achieve, that I want to accomplish. And then number three, have a desire to do it. Paul says, I'm pressing toward that mark. He was consumed by becoming more like Jesus. And we need to have some things in our life that we press toward. We need to have some things in our life that are important to us, that we strive after every single day, that we put our neck into the yoke, like we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, and we push toward that goal. Now, different things build desire in different people. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Thanks. Different things build desire in different people. But the thing I want to point out to you this morning, our desire in every goal that we have in our life ought to be the same one that Jesus had, to please God. He said, I didn't come to do the will, my will. I came to do the will of my Father. It would please God if you're right here in your Christian walk and you say, hey, I can't be like Jesus this year, but I can get a little bit closer. And it would be pleasing to Him if you took a couple steps in that direction. That would please Him. It would be pleasing to God if you realized as a husband or a wife, hey, I'm not where I want to be yet, but I want to get better. And to take a couple steps in that direction. It would please God. I think as a church, we ought to have some goals. We ought to have some objectives for 2003. In the next couple weeks, I'm going to be talking to you about some of the things that God's laid on my heart. And it would be pleasing to God, I think, if we moved in that direction. So, again, I want to encourage you this morning. First Sunday of the year. And I know many of you have probably felt like I have in the past. Well, I make all these New Year's resolutions. Every New Year's I make a resolution, I'm going to lose weight. And last year I kept track of every month where I was against my goal. And I lost a total, well, you might find this hard to believe, I lost a total of 100 pounds. Now I gained 94 of them back, Ray, after I lost them. So I'm down 6. Year to year, I'm down 6. But I say, well, why should I set any resolutions? I don't keep them anyway, because we need them. We need them. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the church perishes. Where there's no vision, a Christian perishes. And it doesn't mean we'll go to hell, but we'll perish. We won't have the kind of Christian life that God wants us to have. Oh, and by the way, one of the first New Year's resolutions that would please God is, if you're here this morning and not saved, for you to get saved. Now, and by the way, the same three steps that I talk about setting a New Year's resolution is the same three steps that you need to take to get saved. First of all, you need to realize you're not perfect. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the glory of God? Jesus Christ. I don't measure up to Him. I'm not like Him. I'm a sinner. Picture what you want. Well, I can get a picture in my mind. I don't only want to be like Christ, but I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to go to heaven when I die. That's my picture. That's what I want. Now, I'm not there if I'm not saved, but that's where I want to be. And God gives every one of us, listen to this, God gives every one of us a desire to get there. The Bible says He woos us Himself to the Savior. He gives us enough faith. He deals to every man a measure of faith enough to get saved. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, let me point you to the one that we pictured in the Lord's Supper. Let me point you to the one we sang about in the songs that we sang about this morning when we sang the old rugged cross and at Calvary. Let me point you to the only way that you can get your sins forgiven and get into heaven. Let me point you to Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you want to make a New Year's resolution, first, if you're not saved, that'd be the first one I'd make this morning. I'm going to get saved. And I'm not going to wait till the 15th of January to see if I make it or not. I'm going to take care of it this morning. Today's the day of salvation. And if there's any person in this room that's not saved, you ought not to walk out those doors this morning without receiving Christ. And if you come in just a moment, we'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. I'll give you a second suggestion for a New Year's resolution. If you're here today and saved and not baptized, you ought to come this morning and say, I want to get baptized. I've been saved for a little bit. I've been saved for a long time. I've never followed the Lord in baptism. We can't do it this morning, but we'll do it next week. Do it next week. That'd be a good second New Year's resolution. I'll give you a suggestion for a third one. I think God would have us make a New Year's resolution that we're going to be faithful to His house this year. Sunday school, church, morning, night, and prayer meeting. Now, I know people go on vacations, and you've heard me say, I want you to go on vacations. I want you to get away. I mean, the disciples and Jesus did that. They got away. I want you to take your vacations. But when you're home, you ought to be here. You ought to be in this place. I'll give you a good suggestion for a fourth New Year's resolution. You ought to read your Bible through this year. All the way through, cover to cover. Genesis to Revelation. Every book, every verse, every word. Read it all the way through. And I don't have time, but I could give you a lot of other suggestions for New Year's resolutions. But here's my point this morning. Every single one of us needs some goals. Every single one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, there's some things that we ought to improve, some things that we ought to get better in, some progress we ought to make. Let's picture in our mind where we want to get. Let's ask God to give us the desire to get there, and let's just go out and do it. Let's just do it. And if you're here this morning and not saved, the first step that you need to take is to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time of year when we're reminded to look at where we are and where you want us. And we're encouraged to set some goals, set some objectives. And I pray you'll help us to do that. I pray as Father, Holy Spirit, that as individuals, we'd look at our lives, our Christian life, and you point out to us some places that we need to change, some things we need to change. And I pray you'll help us set some goals and work at meeting those goals. I pray as husbands and wives, as families, that you would help us look at our relationship. And if there's some things in that relationship, that husband-wife relationship that need to be changed, I pray, Father, you'll help both husband and wife to make some vows today that they'll work on changing those things. And then I pray you'll guide us as a church, that we'll set some goals, that we'll get a vision of where we want to be, and then we'll work together with the Holy Spirit to get there. I pray most of all, Father, for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ. I pray right now that you'll help them see that they're a sinner, that they need a Savior, and that Jesus paid everything that was due for their salvation. If they'd simply come and receive what he purchased for them on Calvary, they can have that home in heaven. And so I pray if there's just one here this morning that doesn't know for sure, that they'll come and make sure that Jesus is their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.